See everybody here this morning. Amen. If I sound a little hoarse, it's because I am. I'm down with a pretty bad cold, but I'd made this commitment and I wasn't going to call the pastor because you want to make enemies out of your pastor. Call him on the day that you're supposed to be teaching. Anyways, remain standing. I want to go into our scripture text today. It's all about the power of our testimony.
All right.
Amen. Start with Acts 26, verse 4 through 7. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Now verse 24 through 29. Same chapter. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. But speak forth the words of the truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this saying was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you. God, I pray that you'll open the ears and the hearts and the minds of the people before me. And Lord, help me, Lord, to the best of my ability, Lord, to give Christ to them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we all have a testimony, amen, of some sort. Even before you come to God, you've got a testimony. Many can say things about God that you have experienced in God before you was ever saved. But you know, that's the drawing power of God trying to draw you to him. The Bible says, how can you come except the Spirit draw you? And if you know, if you keep having that God, having God on your mind, and before you know it, you begin to wind up in church and everything. Don't take that lightly. Amen. Because he may not always be drawing. Amen. But we thank God that he does draw us. And Revelations 12 and 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Amen. Paul called it but dung. His life before he come to Christ. Amen. But why did it say here, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony? It said, and by the word of their testimony. Amen. We've got to have the same testimony that Paul had. We've got to have the testimony that we're in Christ Jesus. You know, before you have any other testimony, it's going to mean anything. Amen. You've got to have the testimony that you're in Christ Jesus. You can have all the testimonies you want about God moving in your life. But if you hadn't made that one move and you haven't made him, amen, you in you, if you haven't taken on him, amen, your testimonies don't mean anything. We're going to get into some things today that we know that the Apostle Paul, he had a great thing happen to him that brought him to God. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul, he believed God. He thought he was serving him with all his heart. You know, I believed God before I ever came to church. If I didn't, I wouldn't never came to church. But it's not enough. Amen. It's not enough. To as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. As many as received him. Now, we can think your own understanding will get you nowhere. Amen. The things that we conceive in our own heart, unless it's from the word of God, has no power at all to make you a son of God. The only thing that's going to cause that is what you do, amen, when you hear the message and how you respond to it. Amen. But Agrippa, he said, almost thou persuadest me. Almost. You know, I don't want to get down to that time, you know, and I come before those pearly gates and they said, you almost made it. You know, I want to make it. I want to do what the word of God says. Amen. But the power of our testimony. Now, we have a testimony that we've got to have in Christ Jesus. And now I have a testimony to let my light show shine before men. They'll see my good works and glorify their Father, which is in heaven. Now I've got a responsibility. You know, the gospel was always to the sinner. Sometimes we might hear a sinner testify about something, about how God moved in his life. Well, that might be true. That might very well be true, because that's God drawing them. Now, just because you think God has moved in your life, oh, he must have accepted me. No, he's trying to draw you into a place that you can be saved. Amen. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's found in verse 26 and 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What keeps someone from coming to God? They begin to count the cost. Amen. And they say, it's just too high a price. I don't want to give up these things. I don't want to give up those things. You know, why don't you just come by faith? Why don't you just come and repent? Why don't you get baptized in his name and let him fill you with the Holy Ghost? There's two things that you can do that you have to do. The rest of them is God's business. He does the rest. You have to repent. That's your part. You have to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's your part. Amen. If you have the faith to do that, I believe you have the faith that will carry you on. Amen. Verse 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul was chained. Amen. He's telling me, he said, I hope that you would be more than almost, but I hope you'll come all the way and accept even these bonds if that's what it takes. Amen. People say that we're bound because we can't do this or we can't do that. It's not that we can't. It's that we're trying to live for Christ. Amen. But they will say, well, you can't do this, but you know what? I've never drove by a Christian's house, 0-degree weather, and seen one of them standing outside smoking a cigarette. Now, that's what I call being bound. Bound in sin and bound in the things of this world. And that's what God will help you, if you let him, get out of those things. Amen. I know I could have many testimonies and tell you that this man was not, I'm not even worthy today to be up here where I'm at. You know, when I come to God, I was so ashamed of my past life that I never did mention it. I never did say anything about it. I see people get up and they talk about the hard life that they have. I said, I can give you one better. But you know, I was ashamed. I was ashamed of my past. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to hear about it. Amen. But sometimes I can see where it's good, if it might be able to help someone that needs it. That God does save the sinner. God is concerned about the sinner. Amen. And sometimes we get jealous. We see that someone's in a sinner and say, well, God did this in my life. I seen this and I saw that. And my answer to them is, that's good. That's God drawing you. And many things happen in our life. Amen. In Paul, he got into a place that he could have to give his testimony to two of the highest people in the land at that time, Festus and Agrippa. Amen. He took that opportunity. He told them the things that God had done that brought them to God. And I'm going to read that for us today. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Acts 26, starting in verse 12 to 21. Starting with verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus and with authority and commission from the chief of priests, at the midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying to the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in thee which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness into light, and from the power of Satan unto the God, that they will receive forgiveness of sins. Thank God he come to the Gentile. Inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Amen. Aren't you glad that he came on and included us? Yes. Amen. If he had not included me, you know what? I didn't have it in myself. My only hope was in Christ Jesus. I didn't have any other hope except that. But Paul, if you look at Paul, when this light came to him, was he in Christ or was it before Christ? Amen. It was before Christ. He was serving God with all of his heart. Amen. That he knew. And I believed as much in God when I was a sinner as I believe in God today. And I believe that God worked with me when I was a sinner, drawing me to the place that I need to be. But you know, I have to have, those testimonies are good. Amen, but they're nothing but drawing you to Jesus Christ. Amen, if you don't have that, your other testimonies are meaningless if they don't do the work that it was there to do. And I believe that's what God does. He's helping those come to him. Verse 26 of the same chapter, For the king knoweth these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Jesus Christ made a big splash, didn't he? Amen. This thing was not done in a corner. Amen. Jesus Christ is still on the lips of many, 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 many people even today, and the works and the mighty works that he did. But what was they for? They was to draw the sinner to God. And that's our job today. And I don't think I do it very well. I know some people, they never meet a stranger. They can go right up to someone and just give them the whole life story, the whole nine yards right then. But I'm better like this than I am one-on-one. Because you're here, I think you're here because you want to hear it. When I'm one-on-one with something that's always in my mind, does he think he wish I'd just go away? So it's easy. That's the hard part. Out there where the rubber meets the road. And that's a place that God desires for us to go. Verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He said, I know that thou believest. Sinners believe in, you know, sinners believe in God. But Paul was talking this way to King Agrippa because I read a little history, went back a ways, and his great-grandfather converted to Judaism. Not that he practiced it or anything, but his great-great-grandson, or his great-grandson, he knew Judaism, and Paul knew that he knew it. And I passed up a scripture a while ago, Acts 2 and 26 and 3. And this will show you. I don't know if they got it up there or not, but Acts 26 and 3. He says, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. He said, I know you know what I'm talking about. I know everybody out here, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Calvary. I'm talking about the work he did on Calvary. Amen. Because if he hadn't done that work, amen, it would be no business for me to be up here. Paul said, if in Christ Jesus only in this life, if I have Jesus Christ only in this life, I am of all men most miserable. Other words, if there's no resurrection, I'm of all men most miserable. If all we have is Jesus in this life, then go home. But we don't. We have a lot more and much more to come. Amen. You know the scripture, John 3 and 2, talking about another man that came to Jesus. Amen. His name was Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. He was a Pharisee also, just like Paul. He knew, and he knew that in the Word of God, that Jesus was pointed out. John 3 and 1, there was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. 3 and verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Amen. They knew that. And you know that today. That Jesus Christ, amen, was as real as I am standing right here. Amen. Except he was a long time ago. Amen. But he had the same words, amen, that was in the Bible. Verse 5, skipping down to verse 5 of the same chapter, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He knew the rest of it. He knew the rest of the story. Amen. He knew that what God had for him, he found that in the Old Testament. But because of the peer pressure, amen, and the things that were in that day, they were looking for a hero. They were looking for a king to come and deliver them from the Gentiles. Amen. But this king came and brought the Gentiles in. Sometimes we don't understand things, that God's ways are not our ways. His ways are above our ways, even as the heavens is from the earth. Amen. It doesn't matter what kind of experience we had. It doesn't matter what kind of experience this man had, Nicodemus. Jesus still said, you come this way. Amen. They called the Pharisees hypocrites because they believed they could work their way into heaven without a Savior. Now, that's exactly why they were called the Pharisee hypocrites. Now, they try to lay that on people today that believe in a work. Amen. You don't work your way into salvation. You work because you have salvation. You can never work your way into salvation. You never earn it. You don't have enough money. The price would be too great. Jesus, the only one, had the price that he could pay. And then he goes into Mark 16 and 16. This is a great commission. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I thank God for that. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Why is there another and here? Just like with and the testimony. You got another and here. He that believeth and is baptized. How can you take that out? Jesus said that. I read where a man said there's nowhere in the scripture where the Bible says that a man cannot be saved if not baptized. Well, you go ahead and you look at baptized up and see what it means. Look into the Greek and see what it says. It means to emerge. It means that you have to do it. Even our testimony, it has to be that we're in Christ Jesus. If we don't have that testimony, the rest of them are powerless. They have power to bring you to Christ if you'll listen to them. But also you can say, well, almost I was persuaded. But one thing I can tell you for certain, we'll all stand before God one day. If you want to lean to your own understanding, you can do that. But according to the word of God, it's not going to work. And that's all I'll say about it. Amen. Our testimony to the world is our lives. But our testimony to God better be that we're in Jesus Christ. That's our testimony to the world also. But they don't see Jesus Christ. They see you. And that's the reason that our works has got to be different than what others are. Acts 26, verse 4. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. Verse 5. Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. He was the most straitest sect at that time. But it wasn't good enough. He served God with all his heart. He went around persecuting the Christians. He had some of them killed. But God knew the heart of Paul. God knew that his heart was perfect before God, except he was not in truth. Amen. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Soon as you take a little bit out, it goes off a long ways. You know, I used to be in the jungles of Vietnam. I used to have a compass and a map, amen, to get to where we were going. But we always had to look for the signs. You know, maybe there's a hill over here, and maybe there's something over here that we can kind of keep ourselves in line. Because if you get off just a little bit and you walk another mile, you just keep getting further and further and further off. That's the reason the world is so confused today, because there are so many religions. But there's only one Bible. Only one Bible. And just if you follow that, that's our only thing, that's all we have. But Paul, he followed that from his youth up, and he was the most strictest one that they had at that time. But the thing that they hadn't heard from God for 400 years, they began to make up their own way of salvation. They began to think that they could be good enough. That's the reason the Pharisee went and looked at the man praying. He was praying, God, forgive me, I am a sinner. And this Pharisee standing up over him, Lord, I thank God I'm not like him. But he was. He was just like him. Amen. But we have to understand that. Amen. That's the reason that the Bible says this. Those that are poor in spirit shall receive the kingdom of God. For theirs is the kingdom of God, those that are poor in spirit, those that are humble enough just to take God at his word. And verse 6, he said, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Where are you standing? Are you making your stand that the word of God is the truth? Every man be a liar and let the word of God be the truth. Whether you believe that or not, it's not going to change. It's going to stay the same. This is one thing that you can believe in right here. And the Bible, at the end of it, it said don't add to it or don't take away from it. And God always has a place of entry, a place to enter in. In the Old Testament, it was the Day of Atonement. Amen. They would lay their hands upon two goats. And one they would send away. And the other they would sacrifice. And it would wander far away, never to be found again. Just like our sins are cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. That was their entry. They did that once a year. And now, the New Testament, we also have a point of entry. Amen. Acts 2 and 37. They were pricking their hearts because Peter had preached a message to them telling them they had crucified the one Lord and King, Jesus Christ. And they knew and they heard about Jesus Christ. They was all there and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. He said in verse 38, repent. This is your point of entry. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive remission of your sins. And then as shall his part, I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's our point of entry. If they didn't have the Day of Atonement, they had no hope at all. But the Day of Atonement would push your sins forward ahead of them. Paul was standing before these men. He was telling them of these things. And then he said, Acts 26 and 21. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Even with Jesus Christ, as fresh as it was then, in the memories and the minds of people, they still resisted the truth. If you want to get in God, you want to be really in God, go to the point of entry and go from there. Amen. And God has, he has a lot for us today. That was Acts 26, 21. Acts 26, verse 22. And having therefore obtained of help of God, I continue into the day, witnessing both through the small and great, saying none other things than these which the prophet and Moses did say should come. They got that from the Old Testament. Amen. They got all of that from the Old Testament. He told that King Agrippa. He said, I know you know the truth. Amen. But sometimes we will hide our face from the truth. Amen. Back in the day, I think it was Stephen, he gave them the truth and they jumped on him and bit him and persecuted him. And we're living in a time today, if you can't see the end time coming now, you never will. Louis Farrakhan, he said, I am that same Jesus. He did. He said, nobody died on the cross. He's a Muslim, American Muslim. He said, nobody died on the cross. He said, I am that Jesus. The Bible said in the end time, many would come and say, they are Jesus. I used to, ain't nobody ever going to do that. They got more respect for God than that, but they don't. But Paul, he said from his youth, he was a Pharisee of the straightest sect. They was right up there. Nobody was better than them. But that, God said, you are a Pharisee hypocrite because you believe in your own self. You've got, he told them the other ones just a few scriptures back. He said, you must repent. Amen. And you must, let me see if I can find that and read it again. I don't want to confuse anybody. It's 16 and 16. You pull that up, Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Amen. He told him before that he has to come by the way of the cross. You know, there's going to be a way made, and he'd have to come that way. Amen. And a lot of times we still want to get by that. But that's our point of entry. You've got to come in. Old Testament had a point of entry, the Day of Atonement. We have a point of entry. And our job is to get out and let our light show shine before men, that they'll see our good works and they'll glorify our Father which art in heaven. Paul, he put it like this as far as his past life, Philippians 3, 7 and 8. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I kind of lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You know there's a saving knowledge? It's your point of entry. In the Old Testament, Day of Atonement was their point of entry. They couldn't do anything to please God until they did that. And we can't do anything to please God until we do that. And that's the point of entry. Acts 2:38. Knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. We need to come to Christ and just turn our back on the world. I know if someone's listening now, they're thinking, oh my, how far has that got to go? Trust God. Trust Him. And don't even trust me. Get into the Bible and see if I'm telling you the truth. In Acts 26 and 19, I'm just about done, I have to be. Acts 26 and 19, Paul had gave him his testimony, and he said this, Acts 26 and 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the high, to the heavenly vision, the vision that he had. Acts 6 and 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. You come on in, don't let works for repentance scare you. We serve a mighty God. Amen. He gets you through a lot of things. Verse 21, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Folks, don't just try to look for the easiest thing you can find, because you'll find it. Look for the truth that's in God's word. Paul made a complete turnaround. Amen. He passed that point of entry. Amen. And he didn't look back. But God had a thing for Paul. He had something for him. And reading my last verse here, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. We serve a mighty God. Let's lift our hands this morning. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. God, we glorify you today. Lord, if there be any at the sound of my voice, Lord, that would want to give their heart to you, Lord, I pray, God, that you would move on them this day and this time here this morning. God, we glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty, mighty, mighty God, mighty, mighty God.